I'm John Gray, and welcome to John Gray's World.
Because I'm not palace material. I'm not royal material. I'm glad God brought the baby to a manger with a bunch of dirt and animals and mess, because my flesh is dirty and messy and in need of something to purify it from the inside out. I'm glad the baby wasn't born where I couldn't get to him. God took the highest of the high, brought him to the lowest of the low, and said, if you want to see him, you got to humble yourself. You got to bring yourself down. This is why we need to thank God that there's a baby in the barn and not in a palace.
Because fresh word, fresh perspective, and a whole lot of hallelujah. John Gray's World. Boo! Well, family, I'm glad you're here for another edition of John Gray's World. And for those who don't know, I'm John Gray. I am so glad to be here on TBN sharing the Word of God with you. And together, we help accomplish Jesus' mission to reach the lost. And if you've tuned in today, that means you're hungry for some spiritual food. Now, clearly, I'm not as hungry as I used to be. I've lost about 40 pounds. Come on, somebody. This jacket used to fit. I'm getting in shape because I got a long life to live. But I believe that the Spirit of God has a great meal for you today. So today we're going to be teaching on the gift of Christ. God has extended his son, Jesus, toward you as the complete embodiment of salvation. That means everything you'll ever need is found in Jesus. Today, I'm going to share impactful truths about why an attitude of faith is so important. Everything about you changes the more you continually receive Jesus as a gift and draw from his resources. I pray that this message blesses you. Because today, I'm going a little country, y'all. I lived in Texas for almost 7 years, and I'm gonna tell you right now, you better press that red DVR button, and you might get some popcorn or maybe some orange juice. This is gonna be a great message. What's the title? There's a baby in the barn.
If you'll do me a favor and go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting at the 8th verse. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then an angel, who looked like Fiona from the worship team, was... I said, is she an angel? She getting married? I don't know what that was, a beautiful dress. It was so Hercules. She had a whole lot of faith to be up that high. That little platform would not have supported my ministry. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. I want to draw your attention to this last verse. We know about the stunning announcement, the arrival of this baby, and the supernatural circumstances surrounding his birth. What I want to draw your attention to is what the angel said and where the angel told the shepherds they could find this baby. You can find this baby not in the best hotel that money can provide, not in the best mansion in Israel, but you will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. I want to share from the thought, there's a baby in the barn. There's a baby in the barn. When we think about Jesus, you cannot think about Jesus in a vacuum. You must look at the necessity and the history under which Jesus arrived, keeping in mind thousands of years of prophetic declaration and a hunger in the earth and the need for someone to save us from ourselves. When we were first created, we were perfect. And of course, there was a fall in the garden. We were kicked out of the garden. Of course, God then chose his people, the Israel, or the nation of Israel, and the 12 tribes of Israel. And he chose them from among all the other peoples of the earth. And from them would rise one day, according to prophecy, a Messiah, the Mashiach, one who would save and redeem the nation of Israel, and therefore, and through that, all the other nations of the world would be blessed and find salvation. And so there were whispers of the Messiah coming, prophecies of the Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us, and he's going to be wonderful, counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, all of these great things. And there was all of this writing from Genesis to Malachi, and then 400 years of silence. And then very inexplicably in Luke chapter 2, here comes some angels showing up to announce that the baby has arrived. And if I'm God, and I'm glad I'm not, but if I was, after all of the stuff that was going on in the earth, I would do whatever I could to get everybody's attention. So I'm thinking, if you're going to bring the Redeemer, the Savior, the Deliverer, the one who would save the people from their sins, why wouldn't you put this baby in the top palace, call all the leaders of the world, shut the sun down, just stop the earth and be like, hey, everybody listen. But that's not what God did. What he did is he announced it to shepherds in a field and said, I got a present for y'all. And he's in a barn, in a manger, and I need y'all to go check him out. Why would God hide his most prized possession, his most perfect gift, in a barn? Who hides something valuable in a barn? Well, God specializes in hiding that which is valuable in nondescript locations. God specializes in housing that which the world couldn't understand in nondescript places. There's a story of a woman who bought a painting at a garage sale. Any garage sale hunters in here? Anybody ever go to a garage sale? My mother used to go to garage sales all the time. I had some clothes that were purchased at garage sales. Amen. I'm still mad about it, but I'm all right now. A woman bought a painting for $9, $9. And this is her quote. She said, I bought it because it was ugly. It turns out that the painting was an abstract portrait by an artist named Jackson Pollock. And apparently this portrait is worth about $50 million. That's what I said. I said, I serve you. You couldn't let me go to the garage sale? You find a $9 painting for $50 million? You won't let me play the lottery, so at least let me get the painting. But what's interesting is that one person's trash is another person's treasure. See, there are some things that the enemy wants to keep you held hostage to, wants you to stay under the trash of your shame and your guilt and your bad decisions and the things that you're not proud of. But then all of a sudden, the realization that there's a baby in the barn, there's something valuable that God wants to give you in the midst of your broken things, in the midst of your worst possible version of yourself. This is the power of Christmas. Not that there are gifts under a tree, but that there was a gift given for you when you and I could not even pay for it, earn it, or deserve it. Somebody needs to give God praise because there's a baby in the barn. And I know we've seen nativity scenes, and I don't want to mess up your Christmas because, you know, the nativity scenes that we normally see on the lawn is all sweet, and you got some light-skinned people out there holding a baby, and the straw is all perfect, and then there's a star at the top, and there's some camels, and the camels are smiling, and there's three wise men, which, by the way, they didn't show up till about when he was 2 years old, but don't worry about that. And so this whole thing was so sweet, and everything was so perfect, and everything was so pretty. But the reality of Jesus' birth was a little less romantic. He was born in a stable around stinky animals outside in the middle of the night under unsanitary conditions. Just imagine, anybody ever seen that movie Secret Life of Pets? My kids got me watching it now. Okay, I like it too. But if animals could talk, I wonder what the camels would say while they watching Mary and Joseph and this baby, like, man, can you believe that? That lady just had a baby in here. Hey, Jimmy, did you see that? Yeah, I saw it. I ain't never seen nothing like that, man. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah, went up and had a baby, and they put the baby in our feeding trough. See, a manger is not a stable. The manger is actually the thing that they put the feed in for the animals, but it was the only thing that he could fit in. It was the version of a crib. Why would God hide his most prized possession in a barn, in a manger? Why wouldn't you put him in a palace amongst the kings? Why wouldn't you let the world know? Here's why. Maybe God wanted Jesus to be born in a manger, because if he was in a palace, the people who needed him the most couldn't get to him. Because I'm not palace material. I'm not royal material. I'm glad God brought the baby to a manger with a bunch of dirt and animals and mess, because my flesh is dirty and messy and in need of something to purify it from the inside out. I'm glad the baby wasn't born where I couldn't get to him. God took the highest of the high, brought him to the lowest of the low, and said, if you want to see him, you got to humble yourself. You got to bring yourself down. This is why we need to thank God that there's a baby in the barn and not in a palace, because we would not qualify to even approach him. But because he made himself of no reputation. Being brought into the form of a man, God wrapped flesh around the mystery and brought him in to a manger. We get to access this baby, this son. There's a baby in the barn, and he's able to save, and he's able to heal, and he's able to set free. And it doesn't matter how dirty you are. That's why he was born in a manger. Why? Because there's no amount of dirt that's too much for him to come and visit you in, to come and dwell in.
Who among us doesn't appreciate a gift, especially one that is unexpected or worth more than we ever thought we deserved? God is your good Father who wants to shower you with unmerited favor and give you extravagant gifts. In fact, each and every believer has been given a marvelous gift that holds even more gifts. Jesus. In his new three-part audio series, The Gift, Pastor John Gray reveals the eternal fact that salvation is much more than a one-time ticket to heaven. It's an open door to continuous blessings, empowering you to live a victory-filled life right here and right now. That's why we want to send you your very own copy of The Gift, in appreciation of your support of the worldwide outreaches of TBN. Discover the many gifts and surprises God has in store for you. Don't wait. Call or visit us online right now.
Why would God hide his most prized possession in a barn? Well, God always hides great, great things. Look at you. People think they know you. They don't have a clue what's on the inside of you. Oh, but 2017's coming, and when God reveals what he's been working on your entire life, the people who thought they knew you're gonna be sitting there with their mouth open talking about, oh, I had no clue. Yeah, because God had it hidden until this moment. God will always hide greatness in places where it doesn't look like it's supposed to be birthed, because he wants to throw the enemy off. If the enemy had any clue what was in you, he would have taken you out when he had the chance. But God has kept you until this moment. Is there anybody grateful? There's a baby in the barn. I need a 5-second praise in here. God will always hide valuable things in secret locations. He hid a deliverer, put him in an ark, and rolled him down the river past crocodiles and piranhas, only for that baby to land on the shore and for Pharaoh's house to raise him, he would become Moses, who was trained and schooled in all the knowledge and wisdom of the Egyptians, yet he was a Hebrew, so he was the best of both worlds, and he was able to be used by God to be a deliverer of his people. God will hide you in plain sight. He hid a reluctant prophet in the belly of a fish until the prophet said, "Please spit me out. I will say whatever you want me to say. Please get me out of here. I'm sorry." God will hide a king in a field and put a shepherd's costume on him, the eighth son of a man named Jesse that nobody saw coming, but he was out in the field writing songs and singing to God and raising the sheep of his father. He was hidden in a field. God will hide a king in a field until he's ready, until Goliath shows up. And when Goliath shows up, God will take the shepherd costume off and put a rock in your hand, and he will let people know you were a king the entire time. God will hide valuable things until it's time for them to be revealed. The Bible says in 119 and 11, he hides his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Is anybody grateful that God still hides valuable things? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay. God still puts treasure in jars of clay. Who hides a baby in a barn? I wonder what that innkeeper was thinking. I wonder if the innkeeper had a son or some kids. You know, you got a small business. Maybe you keep your supplies out, you know, outside, and maybe he was working and told his son, "Hey, go out to the barn. I need you to get a couple things." Maybe a little boy ran out there, and all of a sudden he saw this man and this woman and this baby. Said, "Oh, they done had a baby out here in this barn. I'm telling my dad." He done ran back. "Daddy, what, boy? It's a lady outside. She just had a baby in the barn." "What?" "She's had a baby in the barn. The baby's in the manger. You told that lady you ain't had no rooms. I know you got two rooms left. You're in trouble now. I know what you did." Even the animals is in there talking. Animals, that's crazy. You done had a baby. Put that baby right in that manger. That's crazy. She need to feed that baby. That don't make no kind of sense. Some people don't know what's in you, and they don't even know how to birth it. So God had to do it himself. We couldn't make a Messiah, so God had to do it himself and brought this Messiah through very controversial circumstances. A teenage mother who was unwed, she was only engaged, a virgin. This is unheard of, never heard of such. Why? Because God wanted to remove the root of pride from anybody who thought they could do it on their own. God specializes in hiding valuable things in nondescript locations. The manger is actually not the stable. The manger is actually what the animals feed from. Why would you put the baby where the animals feed from? Maybe because God wanted us to actually feed on the word. Because Jesus was the word. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made that were made, and not one thing that was made without him." I believe God still wants us to feed on the word, feed on the presence, feed on this that Jesus has provided for us. 33 spotless years who died. He fulfilled the word, and now we get to fill up on the word. And you can come as often as you like, and you can taste as much as you want. For the word says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I feel like a little call and response, because my sermon's almost over. This is going to be the shortest sermon I've ever preached in my life, because it's Christmas. Somebody at my house better have me a gift. That's all I know. Got me in these streets preaching on Christmas. Just in case you're here and you say, "Nobody want to give me no gift. You don't know the kind of life I've lived." Doesn't matter, ma'am, sir, those watching online or listening via SiriusXM 128. Guess what? God knew exactly who you were and where you'd be, and he made sure that his son came under the worst possible circumstances So there's no amount of mess and debris and detritus that you can fling that would cause him to turn away. In fact, he was born in a manger so that you and I could know that no matter how dirty our flesh is and how dirty our souls become, he is willing, and in fact, he's looking to come and live on the inside of us. That's the key to Christmas, not whatever you get up under a tree. It's great to have fellowship and to have food and all of that. But the over-commercialization of Christmas has minimized the sanctity and the power of this moment. I know this is not the exact day that he was born, but it's the day that we choose to celebrate, and I'm gonna lift him up. I said, I'm gonna lift him up today. It's interesting to me, there were people like, y'all having church on Christmas? Yeah. Since it is the day we celebrate him, he's the reason we're together, he is the church, what better day than on Christmas to come and worship him than on Christmas Day? It ain't about a gift under a tree. It's about the fact that no matter how broken we are, he still got us covered. And I'm grateful that there was a baby in that barn so I can have salvation for my soul and forgiveness for my sins and freedom from bondage and oppression and everything that the enemy has tried to hold me hostage to. Started on one night over 2,000 years ago. A red-haired angel showed up. Talking about peace on earth, goodwill towards men. It wasn't a regular night. It was a holy, sacred moment. It wasn't just any old evening. I wonder what it was like. Just use your imagination. I wonder what it was like to just be sitting there, a shepherd, and all of a sudden eternity visits heaven. Heaven visits the earth. That'll change your whole night. That's not a regular night. That's a holy night. I feel like singing. Apparently only one of y'all wants to hear me, so No. I'm emotional. I'm sensitive. No, it's okay. I tried to set y'all up for a song. Y'all didn't want it. I feel like singing, but you know what? I preach, so I don't think I need to sing. You know what would be great? If Deidre would come and sing.
And his name is Jesus in the barn. And we're watching TBN, cause Jesus is my friend. And right now, there's a baby in the barn. Think about this. Jesus is a gift, and he wants you to receive all of who he is. It's a lifetime of discovery as Jesus continually reveals who he is to you. The more you journey down this path and partake of the gift of Jesus, God will show you wonders beyond your wildest thoughts and dreams. That's why I want you to get my latest series, The Gift, and my new single, There's a Baby in the Barn. Okay, I don't have the song ready, but I totally need to write it. You're going to discover why Jesus is more than just a gift you receive when you get born again. God has a lifetime of surprises planned for you in Christ Jesus. So give your gift today in faith by calling the number on the screen or logging on to our website. And when you do, your generosity ensures the gospel will continue to reach people who are desperately in need of Christ Jesus.
Who among us doesn't appreciate a gift, especially one that is unexpected or worth more than we ever thought we deserved? God is your good Father who wants to shower you with unmerited favor and give you extravagant gifts. In fact, each and every believer has been given a marvelous gift that holds even more gifts: Jesus.
At the birth of a little baby, all of hell had to bow down, because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess on heaven and earth and under the earth that Jesus is Lord.
In his new three-part audio series, The Gift, Pastor John Gray reveals the eternal fact that salvation is much more than a one-time ticket to heaven. It's an open door to continuous blessings, empowering you to live a victory-filled life right here and right now. That's why we want to send you your very own copy of The Gift in appreciation of your support of the worldwide outreaches of TBN. And when you share $70 or more to ensure that TBN can take the life-changing, grace-filled news of the gospel to the lost and hurting, we'll also include this special bundle of John Gray's best-selling books, Win From Within and I Am Number 8. Take a moment right now to call or go securely and conveniently online to choose your level of support and receive these gifts with our gratitude. Discover the many gifts and surprises God has in store for you. Don't wait. Call or visit us online right now.
Well, that's our time for today. Now, as you go throughout the rest of the week humming that song that I just made up, remember to keep seeing Jesus as God's gift. I believe the Holy Spirit will assist you to live in joy, even in the midst of tough circumstances. Make sure you request your copy of the Gift series so these truths can continue to take root in your heart. I got the joy of the Lord, and my prayer for you today is that you would continue to see Jesus and the hope of his calling revealed in your life, and that grace and favor abound so much in your life that even attacks, setbacks, or circumstances will end up working together for your good. Amen. Amen. I love you. God bless you. And don't forget, there's a baby in the barn. There's a baby in the barn. Right here on John Gray's World. Boo!